Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
I mean, there's only one faith that kills you or wants to kill you if you draw a bad cartoon of the prophet. There's only one faith that kills you or wants to kill you if you renounce the faith. An ex-Muslim is a very dangerous thing.
In an attempt to make Christianity as appealing as possible to as many teenagers as possible, there was a tendency to dumb down the faith, to turn it mostly into a place to belong and feel good.
That's the whole point of the pulpit. It's not about you. It's about the preaching of Christ crucified.
Western New York State Independent Baptist pastors love Issues, etc.
You probably could not miss the fact, if you've turned on the radio or the television, if you've been on the internet, you could not have missed the fact today that for some, it's Earth Day. I don't exactly know what Earth Day is all about. I understand it's been around for a couple decades. Maybe it isn't what it was at the beginning, but nowadays a lot of the ideas surrounding Earth Day are so much the atmosphere of what we live in, especially here in the United States, we don't even think about them anymore. Presuppositions that we may carry around unintentionally, believing them whether or not they've been proven scientifically or whether or not they're actually compatible for us as Christians with the Christian faith. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Cal Beisner joins us. We'll talk a little bit about a Christian response to Earth Day a little bit later. Pastor Tom Baker will be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus sending out the 72 in Luke chapter 10. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Cal Beisner is founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. He's author of a recent column titled Earth Day Challenges Us to Good Earth Stewardship, but where can we get reliable information? Dr. Beisner, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me back on the show. I always enjoy being with you.
What does the popular celebration of Earth Day celebrate?
Well, it celebrates the environmentalist movement. It started in 1970, so we've got 41 years of it now. This is the 41st Earth Day. And it certainly is something that is tied with a lot of good motivations, but unfortunately, hell is paved with good intentions, as the old saying goes, and in an awful lot of cases, good environmentalist intentions have yielded very bad fruit. I think one of the greatest examples is simply how so many environmentalists have worked very hard to keep developing nations, poor nations, from using DDT, which is the least expensive and the most effective means of fighting malaria-carrying mosquitoes to fight malaria in their countries. The result has been, on average, in the 50 years or so since DDT was, or 40 years or so since DDT was banned in most developing nations around the world, the result has been about 2 million malaria deaths per year on average over that period. It's declining lately, thank God, but it would be essentially eliminated from almost the entire world had environmentalists not done that.
You say it's the celebration of Earth Day and the environmental movement is full of good intentions. Is it full of good science?
No, it's filled with an awful lot of very, very bad science. For instance, the claim that converting a lot of our corn into ethanol instead of using it for livestock or human food would help to fight global warming by reducing CO2 emissions. First of all, it turned out that was wrong, that when you do a total analysis of all of the CO2 emissions involved in everything that it takes to make ethanol from corn, from planting the corn to irrigating it to producing the fertilizers used to grow it and so on, through harvesting and then converting it to ethanol and finally burning that ethanol in your gas tank. When you do a total analysis of that, it turns out that you have more CO2 emissions from ethanol per mile of vehicle travel generated by it than you do from gasoline. But the tragic thing, the really tragic thing is this, that that has so pushed up grain prices around the world that hunger has been greatly increased by it. The most thorough study of the topic so far done was by an economist by the name of Inder Gotlani, and he estimates that just American biofuels policy alone, that doesn't include any of the European nations or any place else in the world, but American biofuel policies alone from 2004 onward have caused an excess 192,000 premature deaths because of hunger and malnutrition in developing countries around the world. That's 192,000 deaths that would not have occurred in the absence of that biofuels policy. So not only was there bad science involved, but there was terrible, terrible failure to think through the economic consequences and therefore the human consequences of that policy.
In addition to all of that, bad science, failure, as you said, to consider the long-term, even the short-term consequences for that matter, in all those realms of life, are there fundamental presuppositions built into the popular environmental movement that are incompatible with a biblical Christianity?
Yes, there are quite a few such. And in fact, we, the Cornwall Alliance, address many of those in a series of video lectures called Resisting the Green Dragon that we produce. ResistingTheGreenDragon.com is the place to go for that, where we analyze, for example, the worldview of the environmental movement. Most of the environmental movement is either secular atheistic, humanist, as is the case with many Western environmentalists, or it is pantheistic, God is everything, panentheistic, God is to the universe as the soul is to the body, or animist, that is, there are gods inhabiting the mountains and the trees and the streams and etc. These all are worldviews that are incompatible with biblical Trinitarian theism that recognizes the creator-creature distinction. There are also very important differences in how we view the world. Environmentalism typically views the environment, the world, as an extremely fragile place, subject to catastrophic damage from very, very small causes. That is not compatible with a biblical worldview, which says that the earth is the product of an infinitely wise designer, an omnipotent creator, and a faithful sustainer, one who keeps his covenant with the earth that he made at creation and renewed after the flood of Noah's day. This is part of why environmentalists tend to so exaggerate the amount of risk that comes from various different different human activities, and the result is that our priorities get turned upside down. Whereas, for example, poverty is the biggest threat to human well-being in this life. Environmentalists tend to think that global warming is, and yet the best studies, even those done by the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, indicate that global warming poses far less risk to human health and life than does continued poverty.
Does that mean that the conscientious Christian is going to throw caution to the wind when it comes to environmental issues?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, the scriptures clearly teach us that we are to be good stewards of this earth that God has given us. We're told in Psalm 115, verse 16, that the heavens belong to the Lord, but that the earth he's given to the sons of men. But that, of course, doesn't mean that we can just be capricious and autonomous about it, because Psalm 24:1 still says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, because he created it. When he gave us a mandate in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that moves on the face of the earth, That mandate for dominion was a mandate not for abuse, not for selfish use, but for what I prefer to call godly dominion. That is, men and women made in the image of God, laboring together to enhance the fruitfulness, the beauty, and the safety of the earth to the glory of God and to the benefit of our neighbors, which basically means fulfilling the two great commandments in how we use the earth, to love God and to love our neighbors.
With about a minute here before we take our first break, does that mean that Christians will have, rather than say, I'm just going to reject the science involved, they actually have a intense interest in good environmental science? About a minute here, Cal.
Oh, I certainly think that we should. We should have an interest in good science, first of all, simply because we have a concern for truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And, of course, the most important truth that we're to know is Jesus Christ himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, but by him we do come to the Father, and we're reconciled to a just God by his blood. But this also extends to other truth. Falsehood leads to wrong decisions, leads to damaging decisions. So we should certainly want to pursue truth in every single sphere of life. We're supposed to tell the truth to one another, not to lie to one another. So that's a basic Christian commitment, and it should guide everything that we do in thinking about the environment.
When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with Dr. Cal Beisner, perhaps some suggestions, simple kind of broad policy suggestions, direction suggestions for a proper Christian stewardship of the earth, as opposed to those that we find so flawed in the environmental movement. Dr. Cal Beisner is founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. He's authored a recent column titled Earth Day, challenges us to do good earth stewardship, but where do we get reliable information? We'll be right back. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a Christian response to Earth Day on this Earth Day, Monday, April the 22nd. Dr. Cal Beisner is our guest. Dr. Beisner, how about some, and we have to be kind of general here, but some basic recommendations, direction, policy that would begin to reflect a proper stewardship of the earth as opposed to these ideas, the failed ideas of popular environmentalism?
Well, there are several different things that come to mind fairly quickly. One is that we need to get rid of the whole consensus approach to doing and talking about science. Science is not about consensus. It's about evidence and the logic of argument. And consensus is really a political value, not a scientific value. And yet, an awful lot of the claims of environmentalists, especially regarding global warming, are based not on good, solid scientific evidence, but rather on claims of consensus among scientists. That's political, not scientific, and it's very dangerous. It really undermines what science is all about. Second, it's very helpful, I think, for us to think in terms of trying to treat problems as locally as possible. That is, those who are going to bear the cost of environmental damage or the cost of mitigating environmental damage should be those who have the most say in what gets done about it. That is, we should be trying to address environmental issues at local rather than national or global levels whenever possible. It's not always possible, but that's a basic rule of thumb. A third basic policy notion would be this, that we have to recognize that the greatest threat to human health and to the environment is poverty, not global warming, not acid rain, not ozone depletion, not species extinction, not deforestation or anything else. In fact, poverty is what really underlies most of the great environmental risks. That is, because a clean, safe, healthful, beautiful environment is a costly good, and because wealthy people can afford more of a costly good than poor people can, poverty, not affluence, is the real greatest threat to a clean, healthful, beautiful environment. And therefore, the policy takeaway on this is that promoting economic development, especially for the poorest around the world, is the best way both to solve human health and longevity problems, that is to reduce sickness and premature death among people, and to solve environmental problems. As people become wealthier, they stop worrying about putting food on the table, clothes on the back, and a roof over the head, and they begin thinking a lot more about preventing toxic runoff into streams, about reducing smog, and settling other kinds of environmental problems.
Two quick final questions for you. One, how do you respond to someone who says, look, you Christians, you are simply throwing away the claims of science and global warming, you're anti-science, and you're just approaching the environment as Christian fundamentalists? How do you respond with about a minute here?
Well, I would send them to cornwallalliance.org and ask them to look at our list of scholars. We have a team of about 60 scholars, roughly evenly divided among theologians and scientists and economists, all PhD'd, all well-respected in their fields. We do good science. We integrate our science, our theology, and our economics in order to have an interdisciplinary approach to very complex problems. I'd ask them to read, for example, our paper, A Renewed Call to Truth, Prudence, and Protection of the Poor, or our paper, The Cost of Good Intentions, The Ethics and Economics of the War on Conventional Energy. These are the result of excellent scholarship. Anybody who can make that sort of claim against Christians who are thinking about environmental issues, as we do, anyone who can make that sort of claim simply hasn't looked at the kinds of arguments that we make. We make solid scientific arguments as well as solid economic arguments, and we integrate those with theological arguments.
Finally then, Dr. Beisner, how would it be possible for a conscientious Christian to rightly, armed with right knowledge about the environment and good science, to rightly observe an Earth Day?
Well, you know, Todd, I've never been one to follow world fads, and I frankly think that we're much smarter just to ignore Earth Day and instead to celebrate every Lord's Day, Sunday, as the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, because it's his resurrection from the dead that is the first fruits of the restoration not only of all who would believe in him to a right relationship with God, but also of the cursed earth. That is, God, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, subjected the creation to futility in hope that it would be restored through the redeeming work and especially the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we should be looking at as Christians. Every single week we have an opportunity to look at that and to think again of how this Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can reconcile all things to God, whether sinful human beings or the creation itself. That, I think, is the thing for us truly to celebrate rather than Earth Day. But, you know, if people are looking for ways to take better care of their yards, their communities, and so on, we list a lot of those at cornwallalliance.org, and they might particularly want to begin by reading our paper called The Cornwall Stewardship Agenda. They'll find a lot of practical tips as well as broad principles there.
Dr. Cal Beisner is founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. He's author of a recent column titled Earth Day Challenges Us to Good Earth Stewardship, But Where Can We Get Reliable Information? You'll find a link to this column and to the Cornwall Alliance at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Beisner, thank you very much.
Todd, thank you very much, too. God bless.